Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
The Bill situation. So Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, has been fantastic for the Commanders. He's averaging almost 6 yards per carry. He's been electric when he touches the ball. But in the last two games, he's fumbled twice. I put it up as our Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can's only 100 calories, zero carbonation. That means easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Do you still trust him to be the bell cow? Cakes wanted him to get to 20 carries this week. He got close.
So close.
He got close, so he definitely was given more work. I think Rodriguez was hurt.
He had a calf injury he was dealing with.
Do you trust Bill to be the bell cow? If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067.
I don't know. It's still.
So that's
a
no. If you don't know, it's a no.
No, it's not. It's still early.
You don't have trust.
No, I just don't know if I do or not. I don't know.
That means you don't have trust. If you don't know if you have trust,
that's not true.
Yeah, but he also knows.
I also know
he's the best. He's the best you got.
And it could just be fluky. I mean,
But he's also the best they have, so you got to go to him. You're not going to give 17 carries to McNichols.
I know, but when you say I don't know, it means you don't trust him yet.
That's not true. It means I don't know if I trust him. I don't know if I don't trust him. It means I don't know.
He's fence sitting.
No, I think
I'm on the fence. You're allowed to be on the fence.
I understand you can be on the fence, but when you say I don't know if I trust him, that means you don't trust him.
No, it doesn't. It means I don't know if I trust him.
I trust him. The matter is, does the coaching staff trust him? And coaching staffs are different. Like, Ramondre Stevenson fumbles all the time in New England, yet Vrabel keeps trotting him out there. Remember, a few years ago, Antonio Gibson had a fumbling problem, and he was punished and kept on the sidelines for big chunks of games because of it. It's a matter of how coaching staffs adapt to it. Can he learn from it? Does he stress ball protection going forward? Does he get better at it? Does he not fumble in the Dallas game?
Here's the question to Commanders fans. Do you want to see him get less carries because of the fumbling issue?
Not yet.
Okay, then there you go.
McNichols, when he gets a chance, McNichols makes some plays.
All the guys are pretty good.
Yeah, but he's
good.
Not your every down guy. He's just not.
All the
never
guys
has
are pretty
been.
Good.
In limited carries, he's getting 9 yards per carry. McNichols. Now, all he only has 13 carries.
No, I mean, all those guys are very good. He clearly has the most, like, wiggle, jump cut, like, special quality to his runs. But I do remember having a conversation before the season about allegedly a ball security issue. Yeah. Maybe at Alabama State. I know he had fumbled twice.
Maybe in New Mexico.
In one year, but that two fumbles doesn't seem like a lot. I can't find the friggin' Alabama State fumbling numbers.
It's hard to find collegiate.
Very hard to
fumble
find.
Numbers.
Like, you can at certain schools. I can't find it for what he did at Alabama State.
I just go to sportsreference.com and it doesn't seem to have fumbles.
But we knew with Bill, like, it's not going to be an arrow straight up as far as his production Like, he's going to have, there's going to be some bumps in the road. Yeah, I mean, These are the bumps in the road for him.
Yeah, but is it a bump in the road or is it a, that's my question. That's why I don't know.
I think it's temporary. I think he's, he clearly has an issue these last two games. It definitely affects him. You can see it on his face in the sidelines when they're zooming in on
him. If I came to you, Cakes, and I said, you know what, at Alabama State one year he had seven fumbles, then you'd say, huh, maybe it is an issue. That's what I'm saying. We just don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably
But Eric, like I asked you, do you want to see him get less carries?
Not at this point.
Yeah, there you go. But you do still trust him.
But I like the other guys too. Like McNichols, would he
You
get,
sprinkle him in
yeah,
here and there.
Sprinkle him in, that's fine.
But I don't think you want to see McNichols getting 20 carries a game.
Not at this point.
He's been really good though on screen passes.
Right. Yeah, that's fine.
He's had a couple of passes,
but he's not your every down back. Yeah.
He's had a couple passes where it looks like he's gonna be stuffed for no gain, and he gets a 13-yard gain
McNichols
and moves the chains.
McNichols is a perfect poor man's Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
That's his exact sort of skill set.
Yep.
He is not a 12 to 15 carry type of guy. That's Bill's role.
Yeah.
And it's bearing out through the first
now look,
six
if Bill,
games of the season.
If on Sunday afternoon, if Bill has another fumble in a big spot or you know, something happens, even if he recovers it himself or Washington recovers it, then you'll start questioning it even more. But, you know, let's just keep giving it to him. He's the guy with burst.
Do they do the old school bit with Bill where he carries a football around all day and guys are just trying to pop it out? Like the high school bit?
Maybe. I don't know.
But Anthony Lynn, I'm sure, is going to pull him aside and say, look, we're giving you this opportunity, but we're not going to keep giving it to you if you keep putting the ball on the ground.
He's not stupid. You saw him on the side. He was shook.
Of course, he's distraught about it.
He was shook.
He knows this is a great opportunity that he's being given.
Right.
Let me just say this about McNichols, and I don't know. It looks like the league has decided he's not an every down back.
Mm-hmm.
But in college, and it was forever ago at Boise State, I'm looking at his last season, he was getting 30 carries, 28 carries, 28, 16. So he has been a bell cow in college.
Right.
That was a long time ago.
It is a long time ago.
It's a different league.
Like I said, it seems like the NFL has decided he's not the guy, but I would say is you don't necessarily have to have a bell cow. Like the first few games, it seemed like there was a rotation, right? They were given each of the guys' carries. Bill might have been the most by a little bit, but there was one game where I think him and Rodriguez
and
had
then
the
Bill
same
had a
carries.
Huge game against the Chargers, mm-hmm. and they said he's the guy for now.
And remember, the first few games, like they wouldn't even give Bill touches in the first quarter.
Yeah,
like those were going to Rodriguez or McNichols. Now he's getting like the full game treatment. Like he's getting eased in to being the workhorse amongst the backs.
You can vote at Junks Radio. Do you trust him to be the bell cow? Meaning you're giving him 15-plus carries every week, bordering on 20 carries. 1-800-636-1067. Binary choice, I would vote no, because I'm with DB. I don't trust him yet, which means you don't trust him.
No.
All right, but are you giving him less carries because you don't trust him? You still want to see him get
I'm intrigued by the other guys, to be honest with you, because when Rodriguez gets in there, he gives you great yards per carry too.
Okay, well
I'm not in practice. They clearly like Bill the best, based on what we've heard from people that he seems to be more highly regarded than Chris Rodriguez and McNichols.
Yeah, he's got the burst that those guys don't.
But
have.
All of those guys have produced sample sizes.
He's got that special like. He compared himself to Barry Sanders. He's not Barry Sanders, but he does have a little of
that side-to-side
stuff. He has a little of that. Change of direction, slithery kind of
nature to him. I'm not saying that Bill should get 20 carries every single week, but I think there is something to a running back getting into a rhythm when they get 10, 12, 15-ish carries instead of, you're going to get you're going to get 8 or 9 carries, and the third guy's going to get like 4 or 5 carries. I think that's too many. There's too many cooks in the kitchen when you have 3 guys splitting up the pie.
But Chris Rodriguez,
also with Jaden and Debo nibbling a little bit here and there. While Debo's nibbling, obviously Jaden is taking big chunks.
I would never take away Jaden's runs or Debo.
Of course not.
No.
But Chris Rodriguez, pretty consistent when he's been given the chance in his career. Rookie season, again, very small sample size, only 51 carries, 4.8 yards per pop. Last year, 4.9 yards per pop. This year, 4.6 per pop. I mean, so he's pretty consistent.
He has 109 carries in his career.
Here's the problem.
I mean, such a small sample size.
Here's the problem.
It's bigger than Bill's sample size.
He's been in the league for 3 years. Bill's been in the league for 5 minutes.
What are you going to say, Valdez? I'm listening.
Here's the problem is that Debo kind of has a nagging foot injury.
Yeah.
Jaden's playing with a brace. Mm-hmm. Terry's been out. So you're kind of devoid of explosion. And so instead of being cautious, if he does have a fumbling problem, you have to keep rolling them out there because the weapons are a little nicked up.
Yeah, but I'd say this. If he fumbles again, if he fumbles this week, he's gonna watch for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If he fumbles again, he's going to watch for a while.
Yeah, he's on double secret probation. So I think
it impacted him. I think he knows.
I don't mind.
Oh, yeah, he knows.
I don't mind giving him the ball again. I know we're going to get to some of these calls, but I don't mind giving him the ball again 15 plus times this week. But if he has another fumble, and especially in a big spot, then I would agree with JP. You start moving in McNichols and Rodriguez.
And then you're going to go have dinner with Tiki Barber and some of these other guys and figure out how you fix it.
They're going to bring in Tiki for
practice.
Fumbling consultant.
Tiki started carrying it that weird way.
He started doing weird stuff. I don't know if you remember. All right. Let's bang out some of these calls. Let's go to Rob in D.C. Rob, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Hey, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Robbie?
Listen, he's a rookie.
Yeah,
he's a rookie, and we can't. We got to give him some more time. I mean, he's honestly the best looking rookie running back I think we've had. He can move side to side, make people miss. The fumbling is an issue, but he's a rookie. He's getting used to that. So I say we keep riding. I say we keep him going.
Yeah, I agree. The problem is once you get that reputation too, then everybody's punching at the football.
Mm-hmm. They're going for it.
Yeah. I mean, they're punching at it every single time. Right.
You think Cowboys practice, they're not practicing the peanut punch.
Every time 22 or whatever
they should be practicing tackling more. They give up 142 rushing yards per game.
I can't remember who I heard talking, but he was talking about preparation during the week that they have scouting reports on how to tackle every single player.
Right. I mean, it's good to have. I mean, it kind of goes out the window in the speed of an NFL game. You can't like craft your tackle exactly the way you want to every time, but it's good intel.
All right, 800-636-1067. Let's go to Brandon calling from South Dakota, Cakes.
Oh, very nice. We're big in South Dakota, I've heard.
Big. Brandon, what's up, buddy?
Hey, boys. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
First time caller.
Calling from the plains.
What's up, man?
Hey, I just think Bill, he's just got elite vision. That the first fumble with the Chargers wasn't on him. He got blown up in the backfield. It was pretty much out of his hands before the play could even get going. The one against the Bears was on him doing a spin move in the hole and sweat knocking it out. You know what I mean? But the upside with this man is just there. You just got to keep feeding him. And you know, the practice makes perfect. You just got to preach that stuff every day, and I'm sure it's going to work itself out in the long run, boys.
All right. I think it probably will. But he's not a big guy at all. Like
he's like 6 feet tall, maybe 5'11", 6 feet.
But he's also just like, there's like a slenderness to him. I don't know.
Is anyone alarmed by it? Like everyone,
fumbling?
Yeah, everyone seems like, okay, he's got talent, he has explosion.
You should be alarmed by it.
The second one raised my eyebrows.
It's 2 and 6 games.
Not alarmed.
It's not on him, but he was involved also in the last fumble.
I'm a Bill stan.
Yeah, but that wasn't on him.
It wasn't on him.
No, but he's still involved.
He was still involved. He could have saved the day, maybe.
Well, that one goes on Jaden. I'm sorry.
100%.
I mean, Jaden.
100%. But he could have maybe saved the day.
Maybe.
But, okay,
maybe.
But you're asking a lot.
I'm just saying, it's not on him. But maybe he could have saved
it. Jaden could have saved credit.
He was. Yeah, he got some bonus points. Let's be clear. Bill was fumble adjacent on that play with Jaden.
For sure.
Jaden was the culprit.
100% okay? On Jaden.
At worst, he was a getaway driver if it was a robbery.
Right. Yeah, but he could have maybe done something. I don't know what he could have done.
Let me ask you this. Would you take... If I told you right now, Bill's going to finish with 1,200 yards rushing.
Oh, well, my pants would move.
How many more fumbles?
But he's going to give you 7 fumbles.
You still take it. How many does he lose?
Lost all 7.
You lose all 7 of them?
No, you can't do that.
He says you can't take it. You said you would.
Of course, I'm a stat guy.
You don't get the fumble 7 times.
Well, right now he's on pace for 6 or 7, right?
Well, he probably wouldn't.
Might be on pace for more.
He probably wouldn't have the opportunity of 1,200 yards.
Two and six, seven times. 4 and 12. He's basically on pace for six.
Are you going to be a little puckered when they put it in his gut and he's going through the middle?
There might be some of that.
Yeah, Sunday, he's going to be a little puckered.
I mean, what is in his gut and he's got two hands on it, I'm good. It's when he's out here that I'm a little bit nervous.
If he's holding it out here, I'm just waiting it for it to get punched out.
Yeah, I mean, because the whole league's going for it.
Yeah. He's got to have he's got to squeeze that thing.
All right, let's go. Let's go to Bill in Arlington. Bill, what's up?
Talking about his namesake.
So hey, Bill. I think it's a game of balances. I don't think he's necessarily got a problem by himself. The issue to me is they haven't got any credible downfield threat, and all of a sudden you've got two extra sets of hands pounding at him as he's going through the middle because they've got nine guys in the box. And so I think the whole conversation, I know it's good to talk about, but like to me the whole conversation we ought to be having is how do they figure out how to get some actual receivers on the field? And even if that involves making some moves on the, you know, in the front office.
I like the cut of this guy's jib. He's taking it out of Bill's hands, the fumbling problem, saying it's because there's no receivers getting open downfield.
Well, they're hoping that Terry McLaurin returns to the field and Noah Brown returns to the field.
I'm going to bet blind that Terry will not be back for the Dallas game. Oh, I don't know really? I don't know why you'd be optimistic that Terry's going to be back.
Yeah. Heard nothing about his health status.
Zero.
Well, what did they do yesterday? They said nothing. They said nothing.
Well, today's first day of practice. So
I think he's going to be back today.
You thought he'd be back last week.
Correct. Only because Kime said that.
I mean, eventually he's got to get back.
I think when is that time?
Now.
I don't know when that time is.
Now. It's now. Time is now.
Okay.
Time is now.
You keep thinking it's now. And
I'll bet you a dollar. Yeah.
If he's a DNP, are you going to be better?
Let me see the practice report today.
Well, that's a cheat code. If he's practicing, cheat code.
I would like to see.
You can't count on much these days, including Terry McLaurin's status. Mm-hmm. But you can always count on Sundays at the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. 1-800.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
636-1067. He's fumbled in his last two games. Do you still trust Bill Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt to be the bell cow running the football for the Washington Commanders? More of your calls next here on the Junkies.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. He's an NFL legend. I'm a big-eared blogger. I'm in Ashburn. He's in D.C. What up, B?
How you doing? I'm good, brother. What's happening, Mitch?
Not much, man. I know you played yesterday. How'd you play?
Played well, man. A lot of pars.
You played Westwood with Brendan?
Yep. Had a lot of pars.
I'm guessing. I'm guessing a clean 80.
Yeah, it was that.
Was it?
Yeah, exactly that.
All right, that's a pretty good guess, huh?
When you said
a lot of pars, made me think it wasn't in the 70s because you need some birds.
The greens were rolling, bro. They were rolling.
This time of year for golf in our area, if you're at a good track, the greens are going to be perfect.
They were.
Because it finally cooled down a little.
All you have to do is just touch it. It was moving, dog.
I love it. Are you playing in Dallas?
I planned on it. I'm waiting on my call back from Courtney. We'll see.
I need to swing a golf club because I do think I'm going to play in Kansas in a couple weeks. So I need to. I might need an emergency nine on Friday or something. But I got to work the grill Friday night, B. I got to grill like 200 cheeseburgers.
Hey. You'll mess up your golf game, dog.
I might be on hot dog patrol. It's a fun event at my daughter's school this Friday night. They call it Friday Night Lights. And the father's club grills up, I don't know, 500 hamburgers or something, and the kids just run around and go nuts. It's always fun. You're invited, B, should you want to come.
I'm not going to make that one.
Behind the grill.
I won't make that one, though.
Behind the grill.
Well, you know.
Tell you what's in there.
Don't worry. I think I'm going to have a couple coolers where I'll be.
that I certainly believe. Good Caps win last night. I had a fun night last night. I went to an event at my friend Sonny's house for Wes Moore. Coach Locks was there. Phil Adey was there. It was a good event. Jim Smith, the University of Maryland athletic director, was there, who we had on the show a couple weeks back.
Uh-huh.
Nice to meet him in person and just chat with him. That dude is a ball of energy, man. It pretty impressive guy.
More than you?
He said the same thing to me, and I didn't know I have that much energy. Dude, I feel like I like to chill.
No, you don't, dog. You like to leave early. You don't like to chill.
I do like to leave early.
Yeah,
you know that.
Yeah.
Good win for the Caps last night. I watched that. I did not watch all the baseball, but the Dodgers, I mean, dude.
The Dodgers are all wagon, dog.
Yo, the Dodgers are up 2-0 and won both on the road. The Mariners are up 2-0 and won both on the road. Both West Coast teams have a chance to end this thing at home, maybe even in four. My man Yamamoto last night, did you watch any of that or see any of the highlights?
Nah. So, I saw some highlights, but I didn't watch the actual thing.
Dude. Complete game, and I feel like you say this more than me, but like how baseball has become so overly,
they coddle everybody.
Not my man Yamamoto. First complete game in a NLCS, or maybe even in the playoffs. First complete game in the postseason since 2017.
I mean, he didn't throw a lot of balls.
Yeah, you got to throw strikes, man.
He was throwing strikes and getting them out. The Dodgers won 5-1, I think it was.
Dude, I think the only run he gave up was a leadoff homer.
Damn.
Think about that. I mean, they score once early, and then Yamamoto just dominates.
So, you know what? I'm going to give it to you early, and now I'm going to shut you all down.
Dude, listen to this. Yamamoto did not allow an opponent, so nobody on the Brewers came up to bat with a runner in scoring position.
Damn.
That's crazy, right?
Well, listen, if they were to allow more pitchers to go the distance, I think they could.
Yeah. This time of year, you should.
And
let
I think
go.
If they allow October, more baby. Pitchers to pitch longer, you might have a little less injuries. Because right now, what they do, these guys, five innings, they take them out.
Dude, so listen, you know how baseball always has the crazy stats going back to, like, the 1903 Scranton Green Sox? You know, there's always, like, weird stuff for baseball. So Yamamoto was just the fourth pitcher in baseball history to allow a leadoff home run and throw a complete game in postseason history. He joined Johnny Antonelli from the 1954 World Series, Johnny Beasley, unsure any relation to Mike
Beasley, brother.
1942 World Series. And Babe Adams, the 1909 World Series. Damn. Anytime you're doing stuff that hasn't happened in 75 years or whatever, that's pretty damn good.
1909, you said?
Yeah, Babe Adams. You remember that game?
100 and something years ago.
Babe Adams had quite an arm, let me tell you.
I wonder if Doc knew him.
Doc catching shrapnel.
That's my dog, man. You know, I like to mess with him.
So today we got a packed show for you. Neil Greenberg is going to join us at 11. Barstool Nate's going to join us at noon. And then Ken Belson is going to join us at 1. Dan Quinn should address the media around 12:30. We'll bring that live. A little bit of news last night for Washington. I saw this from Ben Standing first. I try to properly credit, but I'm sure lots of people ended up reporting this. So whoever got it first, this is me crediting you. I saw it from Standing. Commanders brought in, I think they're bringing in Treylon Burks to meet with the staff. Burks was released by the Titans. This dude, I really liked him coming out of Arkansas. Big, strong, tough, 6'2", 230, was a first rounder in 22, okay?
Okay.
That basically, when Tennessee incorrectly decided to trade away A.J. Brown, Burks was the guy they drafted to what they thought would replace A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
When he was at Arkansas, B, his junior year, and I remember this well because I bet on the Hogs a bunch that year, he was a monster. 1,100 yards, 12 touchdowns, 1,100 yards on 66 catches, B.
That's a lot.
Yo, that's a lot.
That's a dude that's putting it up, picking him up and putting him down after he catches the ball.
For sure. It went sideways in Tennessee. I think he dealt with injuries. Never played more than 11 games. He dealt with a collarbone, I think. I think that's why he was released. Super athletic. So, what's funny is Washington drafted Jahan Dotson two picks ahead of him back in 22. I think you look at this receiver room, and they lack high-end athleticism with Terry and Noah not out there. Lane is super fast, but not that big. Luke is an athlete for sure, but he's not getting a ton of snaps. I have a hard time saying Chris Moore is overly athletic at 32 and been on 9 different teams. So I don't know exactly kind of what to make of it all, but I think they're reading the room similarly to us, that the receiver room needs something.
You have
a meeting.
You got two receivers that haven't played in basically 2-3 weeks, and Noah hadn't played but one game. Debo is a little banged up. You got to get somebody else in there. And then how big is Treylon?
6'2".
See, they need somebody with some size, too.
Yeah. I don't know what it means for Terry or Noah playing this week. It could mean absolutely nothing towards those guys playing this week.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You'd like to see you get those guys on the field. Noah practiced last week and then wasn't available. Terry, I'll have to double check. I don't think Terry ended. I think he was a DMP all three
days. He was out there moving around.
He was on the side field, but I don't think he technically practiced. I'll pull up the injury report real quick. Last week, Terry McLaurin was a DMP all 3 days. Noah Brown was a DMP on Saturday. You almost wonder, the fact that Brown was limited Thursday, limited Friday, if something went backwards for him on Saturday, or they just knew he wouldn't be able to go, so they just shut him down.
Yeah,
I do think Debo, that whatever was going on with that heel was an issue last week, and I wonder if he aggravated that. If you're looking for good news, I think you get Sam Cosmi back this week, and I think that Washington's offensive line has been not as much of a roller coaster as the defensive performance, but they made pretty significant changes early on when they benched bench might be the wrong word, but they decided to, after two games, they decided to go with Wiley and they decided to go with Chris Paul.
Coleman benching than me.
Okay. So, especially for Coleman, because he went to the inactive list, which is pretty significant after that. And he's been inactive ever since. Allegretti's still out there, kind of a versatile backup, also the backup center, so it gives him some options. Cosmi coming in, I do think Washington, probably the offensive line, probably had their worst performance of the new group against Chicago. Cosmi coming in, you'd like to think, gives them a little bit of a kickstart. Assuming Cosmi comes in and starts at right guard, B, what are you doing at left guard? You keeping Paul there?
Paul's been great, man, for him. You got Paul and you have Wiley, two guys who've been playing very good. So you may want to, depending. If Paul keeps playing like he's been playing, boom, you got Wiley as a swing guy now. And vice versa. If Wiley you feel is better suited for, you can go with him. So I love them having an opportunity with it. And then Allegretti is still there as well. So they have three guys that can really handle the job.
You know, the other side of this, as Washington is dealing with fairly significant problems at the wide receiver position, not having your highest paid wide receiver in Terry McLaurin, your best receiver in Terry McLaurin, Dallas is getting healthier, which is not great. George Pickens has been really, really good for them. Now, Pickens is in a contract year. Jerry started to hint at, like, oh, yeah, we'd like to keep him around. I don't know how all that's going to go.
Can't keep
Pickens
everybody around, Jerry.
Well, and Pickens seems to be a pretty volatile dude. It seems like it's been all blue skies so far in Dallas. Yeah. But offensively, man, this Cowboys offense is no joke.
Yeah, they can put up points. Defense can't stop nobody, though.
The dichotomy of what Dallas is doing is pretty damn remarkable. They are first in yards gained offensively, third in points scored. They are dead last in yards allowed defensively and 31st in points allowed. So it's like, I mean,
get ready for a shootout. That's the way I look at it. I mean, you got to just seem, Washington got to get ready to put some points up. You know, they were averaging, what, 27 a game? 26, something like that, going into the game last week?
Yep.
So they got to put some points up.
You know, if I could pick one thing, and I'll be real with you, because I don't think Jaden's going to turn it over twice again. That's just not who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have a long body of work on Jaden Daniels, and it does not suggest turnovers.
Yeah.
Weird night. He was a little late on a pass, and I think he looked his eyes up to see if there was a blitz on when the snap came. I think those are like two very individual things that happened on two specific plays that hurt them, and I do not expect that to happen again.
No, I'm with that.
Defensively, though, just the tackling, Brian, that has been a consistent problem all damn season.
Yeah.
And so that gives me some real pause coming into this game.
Yeah. They got to get sure when it comes to tackling. And as I keep saying, wrap your arms around the person you're trying to tackle. Don't just push them. Don't throw no forearm. Wrap up. If you and what guys got to understand, I understand they preach about ball is life. Ball is life. If you don't make the damn tackle and you go for the ball, normally people end up going keep running. So make the tackle first. Let the second or third guy that comes in look for the ball. First guy needs to make sure he wraps up.
Yeah. It's been remarkable. I liked Fred's line yesterday. He said when there's like, if say you're at a park and a little kid's eating a popsicle or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they drop it. Within a couple seconds, you got 50, 100, 200 ants get on that popsicle.
Ants on bread, something that he said, didn't he?
Yeah. Like whatever that is. I've seen my daughters, they get Clayboys and then they spill some of it. The amount of ants that get on that sweets so fast is shocking, right?
Yep.
I think that's how Washington needs to play because Pickens has been phenomenal. I imagine Pickens is up towards – I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba, I believe, is leading the league in damn near everything right now, but from a receiving standpoint. But I bet Pickens is right there.
Mm-hmm.
Pickens has been really, really good, and you're getting CD back.
Yeah.
Dak leads the league in passes completed and attempts. I think he's second in yards behind Stafford. Dak has been excellent. You know, Dak could play a little bit of, like, forgot about Dre this year because he's been so good and everybody kind of counted him out. Dak, through six games, has 1,600 passing yards and 13 touchdowns against just three picks.
How many games? Six games.
All right. 1,600 yards, 13 touchdowns, three picks. He's averaging 270 a game.
Yeah, he lets it fly.
And he's completing 72% of his passes, which is really, really quite good. You got to hope you generate pressure up front. They had Caleb on the move a decent amount, but not enough. If you look at receiving yards, Pickens is tied with Amon-Ra for most receiving touchdowns. Pickens has six touchdowns. So does Amon-Ra St. Brown. From a yardage perspective, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is just on fire. He has 700 yards through six games, B.
Damn.
He's averaging 116 a game. Now, Puka was right on his heels, but Puka had that ankle sprain, I believe, in the game against the Ravens. B, this is crazy. Puka missed at least a half and maybe more, and through six games, Puka has 54 catches.
Yeah, it's crazy what he's doing. It just lets you know you can get the ball to the person you want it to, because everybody know he's getting the ball and they still throw it to him.
Right.
You know?
Pickens third in the NFL with 525 receiving yards through six games, and you're getting CeeDee Lamb back. It's
that may throw Pickens off a little bit there with CeeDee back, you know?
It could.
He was the main guy. You're looking for him all the time, and he feels good about that. You know, that's why he's been good. He's been so calm. They start going to with CD a little bit more, he might have a problem with that.
For sure.
Then you see the real Pickens.
I do think that is entirely possible with a player that's been pretty volatile. I mean, if you think about, like, what – to want to get out of Pittsburgh – we've seen a number of players, really high-end offensive players, want out of Pittsburgh, right? Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, George Pickens. You know what happens in Pittsburgh? You just win.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Like,
you do a lot of
to
it.
To me, right. All right. We got a very busy show, plenty for us to do. I want to do the cooked index today, B. Last year, we determined some teams were cooked. Some teams were sizzling. We might have to revisit some of these teams. Neil Greenberg will join us at 11. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley on a Wednesday moaning.
Here's where I want to go with Commanders Cowboys to start the show. We haven't taken many calls, haven't had opportunities certainly early in our programs over the last few days post-Bears. I want to play a little fill-in-the-blank with people at 800-636-1067. If the Commanders lose this game to the Cowboys, what? What's the rest of that sentence for you at 800-636-1067? If the Commanders lose to the Cowboys Sunday, comma, so I'll give you the example, okay? Here's how I'm finishing the sentence. If the Commanders lose to the Cowboys Sunday, I will no longer expect them to make the playoffs, and I think it gets really hard to envision them doing so. That's how big this is for me. Because go through it. Look at the upcoming schedule here. Yep. I think in the next five games, they have five before the bye. They have to be 3-2 to have a legitimate chance to make the playoffs. Otherwise, it becomes a real math problem. You're talking about at some point winning 4 in a row, 5 in a row, something unrealistic. Could happen, but you just can't count on it. In the next five, that's Dallas, the 3-game gauntlet, Chiefs Monday night, Seahawks Sunday night, Lions 4:25. And then Madrid against the Dolphins. Even though that's a game they'll absolutely likely win on paper and should be a heavy favorite in.
Weird stuff happens international,
you're
man.
You're flying to Madrid to play in a weird stadium on a weird surface against a team that actually can move the football and do some things. It's still quirky. But like, I think you got to go 3-2 in those five games. To me, that means you got to beat Dallas and Miami and then find a way to win one of the three, which you should absolutely be able to do in the gauntlet of Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions. But if you win the bread of the sandwich, Dallas this week in a pick'em game where you're a 1.5-point favorite, Dolphins in Madrid, which you should definitely win. Now I need one more win. I'm 3-2. That gets me to 6-5 through 11. To get to 10-7, I would still need to go 4-2 in my final six games after the 5 and the bye week. That's still difficult because you're in the division twice against Philly. You're playing Dallas again. You got the Giants who are going to be better. You're going to Minnesota to face one of the better defenses in the league. It's not like it's an easy schedule.
Nope.
4-2 in and of itself is a challenge. But if you go 3-2 through the next 5, you at least allow yourself a couple of stubbing your toe opportunities to get to 10-7. And now you're just crossing your fingers because with your bad start in the NFC, you might even need 11-6 because tiebreakers might work against you.
Yeah, see
you.
The Seahawks, 10-7 but last year, did not make the postseason.
This is kind of like the path that as a floor could get you there. And I think if they go 2-3, and if you lose to the Cowboys, that's probably happening over the next 5. Now you're talking about having to maybe go 5-2 down the stretch or 5-1 in those 6 games to end the season. I don't see that happening. That's just to get to 10, let alone the 11 that it might take.
Yeah, I don't want to count on anybody else. I've done that dance for 30 years where, all right, if they win and then the other team ties and then this one gets rained out and there's 4 tiebreakers, if the team doesn't score a touchdown in the first half, maybe they can make. I'm not doing that. I will do it. Obviously, it's the job.
You might have to.
I probably have to.
Because they're 1-3 right now in the conference.
And that's I do not leave it up to other people. This is all manageable in front of you. You've screwed up, honestly, by really especially losing to the Bears. That is a terrible loss.
The Falcons loss, which I understand and it happens, is also just as big. Because Atlanta, like Chicago, is right ahead of you in the NFC standings for the wild card, and that will be a head-to-head tiebreaker with both of those teams. But if you lose to Dallas, you're 1-4 in the NFC. You really can't put together a worse wild card hopeful resume than that this early in the season. So Danny Ruye, I spin around now and ask you, if the Commanders lose to the Cowboys...
All of you just stop it. Every one of you just stop. Stop the homerism. Stop the blind faith. Stop the yelling at anybody... When someone asks a question, you don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. Talking to the team now. Nobody is above questioning. No one's above reproach. No one's individual decisions or plans are above scrutiny at this stage. Last year was awesome. You must further acknowledge that awesomeness was magical. And whether it was the credit fairy dust or whatever sprinkled on things to let you leave that charmed life that we led last year, that's over with. You are back to an older, beat-up, middling roster. If you lose to Dallas and are 3-4 with the harder part of your schedule to come, all of you just stop it.
800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. All right, I want to hear from you guys on the phones on this in a moment. But first, Toby, I'm coming to you. Let's go round the horn. If the Commanders lose to the Cowboys... Now, you got to wear your jersey during the game. I would say you're more of a fan, kind of have that homer when you need it background than we do. We're a little more cynical, having seen a lot of bad football. How do you finish that sentence?
It's not over, but it's dire. I go back to the fact that their final 4 games of the year are division games. And so if the Eagles aren't going to get to a point where they're winning 12 games, if you can get to 7 wins before you get to those final 4 games, you could theoretically run the table and get to 11. You could win 3 of 4 and get to 10 and then hopefully feel good about getting in as a wild card team there. We've talked about the tiebreaker, so maybe you don't feel great there. But if you can get to 7 wins somehow before those final 4 games, I feel good. So it's not over, but it's dire.
So I actually think, too, by the way, if you lose to Dallas this weekend, I have my eyes set on the division, oddly enough, more than I do the wild card. Because your hope there is, well, the Eagles are being outscored this year. They're not that good. Maybe 10 wins the division with a tiebreaker if you beat Philly twice. Or if it takes 11, 11 would probably get you into the wild card. It would almost certainly win the East if you pick the right games down the stretch, meaning multiple wins over Philadelphia. But like the chances of them winning the division, I'll bet you mathematically, would look better than them getting in as a wild card if they start 3-4 with 4 losses in the NFC. Because you would still at least be 1-1 in the division. And as we speak today, currently, the division resume is way better than the wild card resume because you're 1-0 against the Giants. You haven't played anybody else. If they were to beat Dallas, they're 2-0 in the division. they're sitting fat and happy. You might even be in first place coming out of the weekend in the NFC East. Darius, if the Commanders lose to the Cowboys on Sunday...
If the Commanders lose to the Cowboys on Sunday, get ready to learn trade deadline. It's time to start preparing for the possibility that this might not be the year. While I don't think that losing to the Cowboys will officially eliminate us by any means because there's so much more season to go, I think it is time to start considering, hey, maybe this isn't the year. Let's get ready to start loading up at the trade deadline, send a few pieces out here, get some draft picks back in return.
So you would be advocating for selling off then?
Yes. Not completely. I think there's still a chance. If you go, let's just say you, by some miracle, we go down to Kansas City next week and beat the Chiefs and we're 4-4, then sure, we're still in it. But I think you do have to start considering the fact that it's possible you may need to start selling off.
So he makes an important point, too. After Dallas, the gauntlet, that's what I'm going to be calling it. Mm-hmm. Chiefs, Seahawks, Lions. Seattle's better than everybody thinks, by the way. They're really, really good. If you went 2-1 in that stretch, you'd make up for Dallas. It's you just can't bank on it. You could win any one of those games, and it's likely that you lose two of the three of them. But if you somehow won two of those three games and you lost to Dallas and you're 2-2 through those four, you're still right kind of where you should be going into Miami to go 3-2 in the stretch.
Yeah, so you'd be 5-5 if you lose the Dallas, then go 2 out of 3 in the gauntlet.
But it still doesn't change the fact that let's say you go 2-1 in the gauntlet. You're going to be kicking yourself for the Bears game. You're going to be kicking yourself for losing to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Even if you handled your business, you birdie those holes, you still look back and go, damn, if I didn't put that one in the bunker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like on that previous hole, I could actually be 1 under par right now. We could be in a much better spot. It's just a game you should win. This is an awful defense. They can't stop anybody. Matt Eberflus has no answers as a coordinator. They can't tackle. They can't stop the run. Their secondary is not making plays. Matt Eberflus coaches the Cowboys. That's the big difference.
Yeah.
Otherwise... Yeah, I mean, and by the way, like, it's cute, it's funny, I get your bit. The Cowboys' defense is way worse than this one. Whatever
it is
you
worse.
Think of Washington's, the Cowboys is worse.
I think they should do just at halftime change coordinators and see what happens. I'm only kind of doing shtick. Yeah, but your point is well seen. Like, there is a cloud around Dallas. It's bad. Everyone knows it's bad. Offensively, they're great. Defensively, they are beyond horrendous. Washington just has one area where it's horrendous, and that's against the pass. Dallas has all of them. Name an area that Dallas has on defense that's bad.
I heard Dave Richard on with the Junks today for his fantasy segment while I was dropping the kids off at school. And he said that in his fantasy rankings this week, two of his top three quarterbacks are Dak Prescott and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
I'd imagine Jaden is one or two. I don't know. But this needs to be a Jaden Daniels goes ham game. There are no excuses and no reasons not to. If he doesn't light it up indoors against this defense this weekend, I don't care about weather and rain and conditions. And I thought a pretty good game other than two bad plays, bad turnovers that were weighted and obviously made up for a lot of really good ones this past week. Had a really good second half against the Chargers after the rustiness. But you can throw every excuse you want, the summer and the no passes in the preseason and he's wearing a knee brace. It's week 7, man. If you're Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and you're one of the best in the sport, you're playing the number 32 defense in the National Football League. Go whoop their ass like every other team has done. Last week, Bryce Young couldn't throw an incompletion in the second half against this team. He tried a couple times. They wouldn't let him. It's just too easy to move the ball against them. Daniels needs to get fat. This entire offense needs to get fat. And you need to, by the way, because they're going to move the ball in your defense. They're not going to be punting a whole lot. They're awesome offensively. Dak's playing like the MVP of the league.
It's really awesome to be in the NFC East. It really is. And there's times we'll just kind of show some of the highlights from the years past of, you know, people that have been in this space and in these games. So we like that. We like what it stands for. But at the end, it's about us and getting ourselves ready and getting the team ready. And that's really what my message was for them today. We're going to prepare really hard, you know, for what we need to, but our play style and attitude is what's at hand. And yeah, it's just cool to be part of, you know, a division that has some long-term rivalries that are cool.
Dan Quinn yesterday. I think for people like me, you like to hear that he knows what this means or used to mean to a lot of people. I actually was thinking about this before Max told me that he was going to play this coming out of the open because I had not heard it yet. I had a conversation with a couple of friends group text last night, and one of my friends said, this is starting to feel like a big game on Sunday, like a big Skins-Cowboys game. I agree. And one of the reasons for that, it has been a while. It has been a while since there was a legit, meaningful game with the season still in play for both teams. You know, by the way, in a very, you know, much highlighted spot, this is the game of the week. This is another Burkhart-Brady game on Fox on Sunday. I think there's another 425 game. I think there is another 425 game. Yeah, Packers-Cardinals, but Cowboys-Skins will go to the significant, you know, percentage of the country. It feels big to me. It feels big. And you know what? From just our team's standpoint, got to get it. Can't really, you know, deal with the idea of next week at 3-4 with the next game at Arrowhead. Because 3-5 at basically approaching the halfway mark is going to seem like it's over for a lot of people, even though it won't be. Even though it won't be, because after the Cowboys and the Chiefs, remember, they've got three out of the next four at home, and the game that isn't at home is in Madrid. So keep that in mind. Yes, the opponents, Seattle, Detroit, and then Denver on Thanksgiving weekend are all very good opponents, it would appear, right now. But, man, Sunday just seems like got to get this one somehow. Washington's still favored. They are just a 1.5-point favorite in this game. That they opened as a 2.5-point favorite down to 1.5 right now. I don't know. Is anybody else feeling this about Sunday? Maybe it's the fact that it's not a 1 o'clock game. Maybe it's, you know, the highlighted spot at 425 in Dallas. The Cowboys, you know, I said this before the Carolina game, that the Cowboys, if they got that game and Washington got their game on Monday night, it would really feel big. So there is that that's missing from it. You know, both teams coming into the game off of losses and very disappointing losses. The Cowboys losing to Carolina on the road, and Washington, you know, as we know, blowing the game on Monday night. I mean, they didn't blow it. They deserve to lose, you know, the entirety of the game. They deserve to lose that game, as, by the way, Dallas did. It's also a very intriguing matchup in that the Cowboys are legit on offense, and it looks like CeeDee Lamb might get back. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing with the way they've been going. You know, what if Pickens doesn't get any targets in the first half after being the most targeted guy? And by the way, really emerging for Dallas here over the last couple of weeks, I think it's fair to say, if you didn't think so before, George Pickens is making it pretty clear that he is, always was, a number one receiver talent. But now he really looks like a number one receiver. Dude's got 32 catches and a bunch in the last few games with CeeDee Lamb out. And he's got 6 touchdowns, you know, in 6 games. You know, he has been at times uncoverable. Look up, you know, Pickens, you know, and his separation. I know he's a good contested catch guy, but God, there was a lot of catches on Sunday against Carolina where he was just running free. Targeted 11 times in 2 of the last 3 games. We'll see what happens if CeeDee Lamb's back in the lineup. But is anybody else feeling this?
You know,
like, I'm feeling like this is, I've always wanted Washington and Dallas to be legit good at the same time. That's not what's happening Sunday, okay? Dallas is still not a, you know, they are far from a solid, entrenched playoff contending team. And I think most people still view Washington, even at 3-3, as a playoff type of team. The Cowboys, though, are so good offensively. They're exciting offensively. There's a little bit of Cincinnati from last year in the Cowboys this year, meaning that, you know, Dak's having a Joe Burrow 2024 kind of a year with, you know, Pickens and now CeeDee Lamb, just like he had Chase and Higgins, and they just can't stop anybody. Actually, to be honest with you, I think the Cowboys defense is actually worse than the Cincinnati defense was a year ago. Because Dallas doesn't have a Trey Hendrickson to at least give you a shot occasionally. The Cowboys really stink on defense. Really, really bad. Like, they are going into this game, and it's kind of the way I felt about the Chicago game, kind of felt like the only way you lose this game is if you turn the ball over a couple of times. Or the defense doesn't play, you know, a better game than they've played, you know, recently, like against Atlanta. And both of those things happened. Cowboys probably are thinking they're going to put up 40 on Washington's defense. And Washington's probably thinking they're going to put up 40 against Dallas's defense. It may be one of those games where they could legitimately make Tressway inactive. And the Cowboys could do the same thing. And if you're faced with fourth downs, go for them. You know, go for anything fourth and six or less, fourth and five or less. Looking forward to this game. There's just something about still, and I know that this is biased because we are a fan of this team. There's still something that when you say Washington versus Dallas, 4:25 on a Sunday in mid-October, and it just still feels like it should be something important. I don't know. If you want to weigh in, you can go ahead and call 301-230-0980. If you're feeling it about Sunday and this being the first legit Washington-Dallas game in a while. Let me just say that in this decade, you can go, if you want to the games in 2021 or 2022 late in the season, but not really. You know, the Cowboys game here in 2021, when they played, in early December, I think it was, and Washington was decent, and it was right before all the COVID absences hit for them. You know, we rip Ron Rivera, and by the way, justifiably so. I'm not going to defend Ron Rivera's tenure here. I'm not going to defend certainly his job, terrible job done as a general manager. I also, you know, do acknowledge, and I think it's fair to acknowledge, he came into a situation that was not winnable. You know, an organization that was in complete chaos, even more so than it typically was, came in, you know, during the COVID year, which put them behind the eight ball, and then he got cancer, you know, on top of that. But he had to be the front guy for an organization that was spinning out of control, you know, and it had been spinning out of control for years and years, but not like it started to spin out of control in 2020. The loss of the name, everything that, encompassed that, and then, of course, one Beth Wilkinson investigation after another, one congressional inquiry and hearing after another. But what I was going to get to was in 2020, they won the division at 7-9. 2021, when they won four games in a row to get to 6-6, they were actually playing pretty good football, if you recall. They beat Tampa and Brady at home. They beat Seattle and Russell Wilson on a Monday night. They beat the Raiders on the road. They were playing decent football, and that's the game that I would point to and say that's the last Skins-Cowboys game that actually had any level of juice. Here it is. I've got it right here. December 12th, Dallas came in 8-4. Washington was 6-6. All right. December 12th, 8-4, 6-6. Washington very much in that moment in the playoff mix. Very much were, especially with a four-game win streak. Now, we knew they were limited offensively. No offense to the Taylor mob. We knew they were a little bit limited, but they were running the football with Antonio Gibson. Remember the game he had against Tampa during that stretch? And they were playing pretty good defense. And that game was got close at the end when the guy that now has the podcast that's doing well with Taylor Lewan, the guy that played linebacker
Will
for
Compton.
Us. Will Compton.
Yes.
No, I'm thinking of Cole Holcomb. I'm thinking of Cole Holcomb. Cole Holcomb was the guy that had the interception in that game. Will Compton was not on that team, I don't think. I don't think Will Compton played for the Rivera teams, right?
No, he was not on the Rivera teams. He was bouncing around the Raiders.
By the way,
Falcons,
I like him.
Titans.
He's great. Like him.
He's hilarious. Will kills me. He worked for the same company, or worked for Barstool for a while. They have a Will Compton memorial stall in their bathroom, which I thought was really funny. So they've got like his jerseys and all that, but now he's on ESPN, and it's very weird seeing him every morning. He's bald now too because of the Michigan-Nebraska rivalry, since Michigan beat them this year.
Why? What? Explain.
It was a head shave.
Give me more details. It was just a head shaving. He lost a bet.
Yeah. Taylor Lewan went to Michigan. Will went to Nebraska. Okay. So it was just a friendly rivalry. Whoever loses shaves their head. Will lost. Okay. Shaves his head. Looked very weird. Bald. It was off putting.
Yeah. So what I was gonna say, and it's gonna sound, I can already see and feel the venom spilling out of some of you. Please don't go down this path of telling us that Ron Rivera did, you know, even a halfway decent job. I'm not saying that. And he had no shot, and I'm defending him from that standpoint. But the point is, in 2020, they went to the playoffs. Yes, as a 7-9 division winner, but they got hot late and they went to the playoffs. In 2021, they were 6-6 and very much in the playoff picture, playing meaningful games in December, including that game against the Cowboys, which was the last one. And then remember, it all fell apart because of COVID. They started losing players. They had to play that Tuesday night game in Philadelphia. Who was the quarterback there? I'm going to look that up. That was another quarterback that I can't pull it. I gotta look this one up. Garrett Gilbert had to play quarterback that night because everybody had COVID. And then remember the Daron Payne, John Allen dust up on the sideline when they got hammered by the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Season was over at that point. But 2021, before the COVID losses, they were in the playoff hunt, playing meaningful games in December. 2022, of course they were playing meaningful games. You know, at one point they were like the sixth seed, you know, in December. They had that Sunday nighter. The game got flexed to Sunday night against the Giants. And that was a massive game, as was that game against Cleveland to stay alive when Ron Rivera didn't know that his team could be eliminated. So they played, you know, all the way till January 1st. Meaningful games in 2022, and then 2023 came, and we understand how that one went. I got to that because I was thinking about the meaningful games between Dallas and Washington, and there really haven't been any since 2021. That 2021 game was really the last game that meant anything, because in 2022 they played Dallas in that final game of the year. Remember, was the Sam Howell game, when a lot of people, including some of you who are listening, were convinced that they had found the next Joe Theismann to be our quarterback for the next decade. Dallas had nothing to, well, they had something to play for, but it wasn't that big of a game. And earlier, they had played Dallas much earlier in the year. It's really been few and far between. My God. I mean, you really have to go back to, you know, 2018 a little bit with Alex Smith before he got hurt. You got to go back to 2016. The biggest Washington-Dallas game played in the last decade was Thanksgiving Day 2016. No other game that they've played in the last decade. Okay, 2012 is beyond a decade now. The season finale with RG3. The 2016 Thanksgiving Day game between 6-3-1 Washington and 9-1 Dallas was the most aggregate wins, combined wins, between the two teams in a matchup. You had to go back to the 90s to find another one.
First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. It was not a happy Thanksgiving, but it was one hell of a football game. That 2016 team just did not have a defense at all. 2015 didn't either. But that was a shootout between Prescott, who was a rookie, and Cousins. Cousins threw for 460 or something like that, and Prescott threw for, you know, a bunch, and it was a hell of a football game. That's I'm not suggesting that Sunday's game is that. Although, you know, there is the possibility that the Christmas Day game this year could be a meaningful game. We'll see. The NFC East is bunched up. It's tight. It is, you know, right now a division in which nobody wants to step up and take it. And I bet you there will be discussion going into that game, depending on what Philadelphia does at 1 o'clock against the Vikings, they're on the road in Minnesota. If Philadelphia were to lose that game, I think you'd hear a lot of discussion about the winner of Sunday's game becoming sort of a favorite to win the NFC East. It's early, long way to go after it, and the Cowboys would just be 3-3-1, and Washington would be just 4-3. But it may be the way things shake out. Looking forward to Sunday. I'm glad Quinn recognizes a lot of the stuff that the older heads care about. And I like that about him. He is, you know, he's a sponge on all that stuff. He knows NFL. He knows the history. And let's face it, you know, going to Salisbury and, you know, in the, you know, late 80s, whatever year he graduated from Salisbury, I mean, he knew Washington-Dallas was a big deal. Yeah, a lot of big division games coming up, but this is going to be a big one on Sunday. All right, I got a couple things to get to when we come back on the show today. Denton coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll do a college football look back. James Franklin getting canned after their loss over the weekend. We'll look ahead to some of the big games this weekend. Charch is on the show, and you'll hear a portion of the Steve Suter film breakdown from my podcast yesterday. He is so good at this, guys. He knows ball, and he doesn't look at anything. He doesn't look at PFF. He doesn't look at any of the other things. He's got his own way of doing it, and you're going to hear him give out the top three and the bottom three grades for the offense and defense from Monday night's game. And I thought he had a very interesting take on a specific offensive lineman. You'll hear that next hour. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
All right, so we wanted to get into the Commanders. CBSSports.com put out an article about a move that each contender should make prior to the November 4th NFL trade deadline. And the trade that they have the Commanders making is for an offensive piece.
Okay, I was just going to guess.
All right, I'll try to give you a few clues and see if you can guess the player.
Well, I'm just going to guess right off the bat.
All right. You're just going to give a random
Breece
guess.
Hall.
It is not Breece Hall. Right, so it's also not a running back that they have the Commanders targeting. Care to give a second guess? Hmm. Would you like a clue?
So it's a receiver.
Would you like a clue?
Yeah.
All right, here's your clue. Giving you your visual clue, visual aid. The visual aid is the U.
All right.
That's your clue.
The U. The U, the U, the U. A receiver from Miami?
He's technically not a receiver. He's a tight end that went to the U. You're racking your brain over there. You can't seem to figure it out.
I can't.
He plays in the AFC. He plays for
He did not go to the U.
He did not?
Who are you talking about?
Nope.
He didn't?
Tight end?
I thought this person went to the U. Who are you
talking about?
David Njoku? Didn't he go to the U? Or am I getting my guys mixed up?
I think you're getting hold on. He did, but are you reading the same article that I'm reading?
I think so.
All right, well, then I'm sorry.
David Njoku. All right.
I mean, you had me questioning myself there, Valdez. You had me shook for a second there.
Well, everybody's saying that he's a trade candidate, right?
Okay. Yeah, he is a free agent this upcoming offseason, and they drafted Harold Fannin, who's had a really big impact on that offense so far, and Njoku is dealing with, I think it's a slight injury at this point.
Yeah.
So he might not go this weekend, but
Did they feel like the Commanders need a tight end?
Here's what they say. They said the Commanders need to get 2024 NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year Jaden Daniels more receiving help.
Hmm.
His go-to guy, Terry McLaurin, has missed three of the team's six games, and 35-year-old Zach Ertz is a fun red zone target, but he shouldn't be relied upon to be a team's top three pass catcher in the year 2025. I tend to agree with that.
Right, but how much are you going to give up for him? Are we tired of giving up stuff?
I think like a
six. I would say six.
I mean, he's a looming free agent. I don't think you have to give up a lot to acquire
looming
him.
Free agents that are banged up a little bit. You don't have to give up a lot.
Just in my defense,
yes.
Yeah, who were you talking about?
Well, I'm reading the CBS article that I believe I attached to the rundown, and it has them Mark Andrews to the Commanders.
Ah, who, of course, went to Oklahoma. Okay. Well,
I thought I pulled up the same exact article that you linked to me. This one, unless it got updated, it has David Njoku featured.
Okay. David Njoku's definitely a trade candidate.
It says, Mark Andrews to the Commanders. We don't believe John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens are interested in completely punting the rest of the season, even with the AFC contender deflated at 1-5. But Andrews, aging 30, and Isaiah Likely is already on board as a longer-term option. It's possible basically to ship Andrews out with the with his contract, with Likely behind him.
Okay. I mean, if I had to pick between a 30-year-old Mark Andrews, and I'm not sure how old Njoku is, but he's definitely not 30. I'd say he's like 26 or 27, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
I would tend to side with the younger player. Like, if you're going to acquire somebody via trade, I'd rather have Njoku than, Andrews.
I mean, are you going to use two tight ends? Are you going to use double tight ends there? Are you looking to take more time from Zach Ertz?
Maybe you just reduce some of Zach Ertz's playing time.
Maybe, okay.
If you feel like Njoku's a more dynamic weapon, which I think everybody would agree, he's much more, when he's healthy, much more dynamic than a 34-year-old Zach Ertz.
I would agree. I would think Andrews and Ertz are pretty much equal.
Right.
Does this list have Kamara to the Chiefs and Brees Hall to the Chargers? Because that's the list I'm looking at now.
Let me see.
Is that the one that does it say Andrews to
and
the
Commanders? It says Andrews to the Commanders, yeah. But maybe there's another list from somewhere else that he was looking at.
I don't know. Yes, it says Brees Hall going to the Chiefs, and it has...
Kamara to the Chiefs. So we're looking at two different lists.
We're looking at two different lists.
Okay. All right, but bottom line is...
Same characters.
Same guys. I mean, the same names you're going to hear because, you know, they're obviously on bad teams and they're expiring contracts. And
although, I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think they will either.
I think they love Zach Ertz, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they love him.
Would you be against him
as a red zone target? But I agree, like he's not dynamic out in the open field. Like he's
But they know that. They know that. I actually think they have no interest in reducing his role this season. Mm. I don't think they do.
I would have thought that if they were looking for a position, it would be RB.
He's one of the leaders on the team. I think they like being there and being a target. And Jaden, he's a favorite target of Jaden's, even though the week prior he had zero.
Njoku is a physical freak, though, if he's healthy.
I wouldn't have any problem with them bringing in Njoku to either add to Zach Ertz or kind of usurp some of his usage.
Yeah.
I'd rather bring in a linebacker that can cover one of those guys.
Well, that would be nice, too.
Yeah, that's what I'd rather
be. They could find somebody
like that. Now you got me thinking.
Yeah, but I was just wondering, because these lists have them acquiring offensive players, but you don't see lists acquiring defensive players. Don't you think that that's probably more of a priority now?
Well,
maybe trying to get an edge.
Also on this list, they have the Niners.
Maybe another piece in the secondary.
Well, on the list that I'm looking at, they have the Niners swooping in and poaching Trey Hendrickson away from the Bengals.
I've seen that on other lists, too, yeah. Problem is he's a little bit banged up now. He is only on a 1-year deal, so he only has 10 games to play with them. He won't play with them next year, so that makes sense, but he is a little banged up. I think he's got a back injury.
Yes, correct.
But they lost their best edge rusher, and Fred Warner's down, so I could see them going out and trying to get a defensive piece.
Is Hendrickson expected to play tonight, or is he slated to miss tonight's game?
I saw that he was very questionable. But
and I guess on a short week, like they're not going to mess around with him and get him out there before you would expect.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I was reading somewhere yesterday, I can't remember, whatever site I was on, that 4 or 5 years ago, or even longer, that in the NFL, the trade deadline, like the NBA trade deadline, Major League Baseball trade deadline is wacky.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there are
always a lot of
million
activity.
Players
getting
traded in the NBA and the and in baseball. But in the NFL, it used to only be 4 or 5 players.
Yep.
Back in the day, I remember when Wilbur Marshall was acquired. It was like a big deal.
Big deal, right.
It was like, oh my God, they made a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now, with all these young, GMs, apparently they're trading for a lot more players. Like the NFL trade deadline's a bigger thing than it was 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah, for sure, I think.
Last year, I think there was 17 or 18 players traded. And they compared that to about 10 years ago where there was four or five players traded. So,
by the way,
you might see a lot of big
names go. Depending on if Terry McLaurin comes back and how effective he is, don't be surprised if they're in the market to trade for a wide receiver, too.
I agree.
I mean, I know they made a trade for Debo before the season started, but if things go sideways with Terry and he doesn't look like he usually looks coming back from the injury, they should be in the market for another wideout because Noah Brown's gone to the IR. I mean, I know they brought in Treylon Burks for a workout. Like, no. I mean, I know he's only 25 years old, but he has one touchdown in his NFL career. That guy misses a ton of games. I just don't see him being productive. Like, you already have Noah Brown on the IR. Are you going to bring in a guy who's probably going to hit the IR soon in Burks if he's wearing your uniform?
Yeah.
That's kind of what he does. Don't be surprised if they're in the market for a receiver.
I think Terry's going to play, and I think he's going to look silly. Now, how many targets he's going to get, I don't know. But I think he's going to be look silly.
I hope he looks great. I hope he's the Terry McLaurin of old. But you have to be prepared for the scenario where he doesn't look like that. And whatever injury that he's dealing with, which has still been weird and nebulous, that he's not 100% back from. I hope I'm wrong.
I think he's going to look silly.
I hope he goes out and scorches the Cowboys defense and has two long touchdowns in a 38-31 victory for the Commanders. Mm-hmm. I hope that's what happens. I'm tempering my expectations.
You know who's pretty good? Jacoby Myers is pretty good.
And he wants out of Vegas.
The Raiders are done. I mean, that might be a name that you see.
Could be.
This is a
pricier name. What about DJ Moore?
Now, I've seen his name out there,
too. His name has been thrown. Now, he's expensive. Problem with this, he's making a lot of money. So, like, unless you got the Bears to agree to eat some of the deal, to eat some of the financial part of his deal,
mm-hmm.
I don't see Adam Peters acquiring him for the price tag that it would take.
Yeah.
But that's another name of a receiver who could be on the move
in
the next few weeks. And he has local ties. He's still productive. He's kind of the odd man out in that Chicago Bears rotation right now.
Or if you wanted to go defense, you could go out. Bradley Chubb is not young. He's an older dude, but, you know, the Dolphins are done. And there's all kinds of problems in that locker room.
Right.
So maybe a Bradley Chubb? I don't know. I mean, they went out and signed Drake Jackson.
I think we're acting the offense is not where it needs to be, but it's not the core problem. If they're going to add, I think it's going to be on the other side of the ball if they do. They're still scoring 26.5 points per game or whatever, 26. It's pretty good. It's not where it needs to be. It's below what it was last year. Last year was 28.5, but they're not that far off. Terry's missed a bunch of time. I think if they make a move, it'll be more, like you say, a pass rusher or, you know, I don't know, somebody
safety
that cover a tight end or some secondary help. I just think these are the guys we got on offense, and they're making it work pretty well. Hell, even Mariota went in there and made it work pretty well. I think we're barking up the wrong tree.
And also maybe you just expand the roles of the young guys like McCaffrey, like Jalen Lane.
Which is kind of what they're doing.
Like, we spent third and fourth round picks on these guys.
Right.
Now is the time for you guys to produce if Terry's not 100%
back. For all
back.
The Luke McCaffrey haters, the guy's right up there 1-2 or whatever he is in returning kicks, and he's had 3 touchdowns in his last 4 games.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess expand his role.
Jalen Lane's making some plays.
Yeah.
So
all right, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right on that.
I think it's if they make a move, I would think it would be more on the other side of the ball. But who knows? All right, let's go to our guy, D. Woods. Calling from Hotlanta. D, what's up, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How y'all on this open line Thursday?
What's up, man?
D, are you in the whole 6-7 thing?
I text my daughters. I've been listening all morning, of course. I wake up to you guys, right? The moment you guys come on, I'm up. I'm up for the rest of the day. I listen to all 13 segments of Terry McLaurin talk.
Man, we need more D. Woods out there. We need more more guys like you, D.
D, you're a legend. We appreciate it.
Legend.
I text my daughter, and my 21-year-old, I'm so proud to say, she said, Dad, I know I'm getting old because I have no idea what that means. And so I feel like I raised my daughters right.
You're doing
not
good.
To be into all these internet sensations and all that good stuff. So, no, my kids do not know what it means. I don't know what it means. Nor do I care.
Right.
Nor do I care.
That's good, actually. It makes me feel better.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, unk.
Yeah, unk status. Yeah, unk status.
I'll drop that on you, D.
I tell everybody, don't let my light voice fool you because I'm in my 40s. I get called unk. an OG all the time when I'm walking down the street, and it's kind of annoying because I don't, my body doesn't feel old, but apparently I look old to these folks in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So hey, Bish, this question is for you because I know what EB's going to say. Have you seen this daggone Twitter post from Kirk Herbstreit playing with his dog in the middle of the hotel?
Yes.
Well, I saw. I'm not on Twitter, so I haven't seen it. But I saw him. His dog was on the private jet that was flying from Oregon to Texas because he was doing the Oklahoma Texas game, and he had his dog in the interview when he was doing the interview with the game day crowd because he had already left the set.
In the words of John Martin Allville, put him and his dog on a jet and fly them to the moon. I couldn't care less about that damn dog. We gotta deal with his dog everywhere.
I know.
Do you bring Luca into the studio? Is that professional?
No, I would love to, but no, I don't.
Yeah, I think it's crazy, this Kirk Herbstreit like dog fetish thing that's been happening.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's
been happening for a couple
years.
Jason,
the latest video is Kirk with his dog playing fetch with him.
Like all the way down the hall.
In the hall of the hotel that he's staying at.
This morning, I woke up to it, and I went, this guy just does what he wants. He does what he wants.
Oh, he definitely does what he wants.
Now,
did you watch game day? Did you see?
Yeah, yeah.
He was on the private jet. First of all, he's on a private jet.
It's pretty nice.
Well, he takes private jets everywhere.
Yeah.
But he's got to go from Eugene, I get it, that's where game day was broadcasting, to Texas, because he was doing the Oklahoma-Texas game. But he's got his dog right there, and he's petting his dog, and they're asking him about the games. He's petting the dog.
Too much dog.
It's his thing.
It's too much dog.
That's his thing.
Now, in his defense, ESPN, ABC, whoever, could have rented the entire wing of rooms for everybody that's working that game.
Uh-huh.
So, but if like other people are staying on that floor, he's playing fetch with his dog down the hall, it's a little inconsiderate.
Yeah, it's not great.
Well, I'm a dog guy, so I don't have a problem with it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.